Genesis chapter 12, promise to Abraham, or to Abram. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and they all and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan, so that they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth tree and of Moreh, and the Canaanites were there then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give them land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched the tent in Bethel on the east and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Then there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and for I, and that I may have may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, and she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with a great plague because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And the Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why do you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they went. They sent him away with his wife and all that he had.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And our Lord, we come and ask that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our ears, that we may receive what you have to say from this passage and also other related verses in the Bible. Lord, we desire to learn. We ask that you grant us a hunger, a heart that a hunger and thirst for you and for your word. And we pray, Lord, that we are not just hearer of your word, but that we are doer of your word. And so this morning, we ask the Holy Spirit to make these verses, this passage alive unto us, that we may assimilate, and that you strengthen us, you encourage us. And Lord, every word that flow from my mouth, Lord, may it be life and spirit. You are not a servant to speak your word with clarity and with your anointing, because with your anointing, Lord, my words are empty and hollow. And so I need your anointing, that your people may be edified and encouraged and glorify you in many aspects of their life. And so, Holy Spirit, come and glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. All right, today I'm going back to the sermon series called Dispensationalism. And it has been at least, I think, 4 weeks or 3 weeks I've not spoken on this topic. And the title of my sermon is called Part 4, or Installment Number 4, The Dispensation of Promise. Not that particular thing yet. Yeah, not. Can you take that take that one out? Is it not possible? Oh, all right. Sorry, just leave it there for the time being. All right, thanks. Now, as I said, there are altogether a 7 dispensation before the new heaven and the new earth. And let me quickly, for the sake of those people who are not familiar with this or have not been with us for the last couple of weeks, the 7+1 dispensation are as follows. One is, first is the dispensation of innocence. It began with Adam, and it started from the creation of Adam to his fall. And the second dispensation kicks in after the fall, and that was the dispensation of conscience, or we call it dispensation of moral responsibility. And the anchor person is Seth, and this the time period is from Adam's fall to the great flood. And the third dispensation is the dispensation of civil government. Noah is the key person. It started from the great flood to the call of Abraham. And then the fourth dispensation is the dispensation of promise. And the key person is Abraham. It's from the Abraham's call to the giving of the law. And the fifth dispensation is the Mosaic law dispensation. The key person is Moses, from the time of the giving of the law to the day of Pentecost. And the sixth dispensation, the current dispensation that we are living in, is a dispensation of church, or the dispensation of the grace age. And the key person, of course, or the key event, is Jesus' first coming. And it starts from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. And the seventh dispensation, which we are yet to experience, will be the dispensation of millennium. And the key event is Jesus' second coming. And it is over the period of Christ, 1,000 years of millennium rule. And once that is completed, the number 7, then we come into eternity, the new heaven and the new earth. So we can see the pattern, right? The number 7, the completion of everything. Now, I also mentioned that for each dispensation, each dispensation has 6 unique characteristics. One pertains to the person and the time period. And the second is a new ruling factor. That means God introduced some new ruling factor into that dispensation in addition to what was given before. And then the third is, there will be a new revelation given to that person or during that era. And the fourth is, men need to steward that responsibility. And then there will be a number 5, the fifth characteristic is, there will be a testing of that dispensation of that responsibility rather. And then unfortunately, it will end up with the 6th characteristic, which is normally a major failure or catastrophe. And then God will mete out His judgment. But after the major failure or disaster, God will then end that dispensation and initiate another dispensation with new characteristics. And this is how He progressively unveils the plan of redemption. And so the pattern will go through a spiring cycle of 7 times before we come to the new heaven and new earth. Now, so far I've covered the 3 dispensation. So let me just quickly recap the previous dispensation that covered the 3rd dispensation of human government, which is listed on this screen here. Alright, the 3rd dispensation was the dispensation of human government, and the time, or rather the person and time period, as I said, the key person is Noah, and the time period is from the great flood to the call of Abraham. The ruling factor, of course, is the human government, Because this is the first time, or this was the first time that God introduced capital punishment. And so human government was an agency, all right, to facilitate that particular capital punishment. And then the other three characteristics, revelation, responsibility, and testing, I lumped them together. And so actually after Noah was saved, in the ark, he came out. Actually, God was doing a reset of humanity. And so the first instruction that he gave Noah was to scatter, say to scatter and refill the earth, or replenish the earth, rather. And then the human government was being introduced to enforce capital punishment. And of course, the approach to God remains the same approach God by the animal sacrifice. And then, unfortunately, it came to a point that there was a major failure and disaster, and God has to force a scattering, by the confusion of languages. I'll just say a few words later on in the next section. And so now, let me now go through the six characteristics of the fourth dispensation of promise. Now, who is the person involved? He's Abraham. Now, the previous dispensation, as you know, did not end well, because the building of this Tower of Babel was an outright defiance against God. And they took the delegated authority of human government given in the previous dispensation to rebel against God. And the rebel king, Nimrod, actually led a human government and empire to rebel against God in the idolatrous worship. And so God has to judge them and force a scattering of the people into the different language group. And then he decided to raise up another man called Abraham to initiate another dispensation called the dispensation of promise. And the time period is over a period of 430 years. And it, as I said, it was a time, or rather from the call of Abraham to the giving of the law to Moses at Mount Sinai. Now, so what is the ruling factor during this dispensation? To simply put it, it is the word promise. Promise. Now, the previous dispensation demonstrated that mankind largely failed to obey God on the basis of human conscience, that is the knowledge of good and evil, and also largely failed through the institution of human government. So as a result, God started a fourth dispensation by instituting promise as a new ruling factor. So God intended that this additional and new ruling factor of promise to Abraham, or rather promises to his to Abraham and his descendant, would actually make a difference in the way that they would live. And so Hebrews chapter 11 actually demonstrates that God's promises did make some difference in the life of Abraham. But it deteriorated badly actually for Abraham descend or distant descendant. And so let me read to you what I mean the ruling factor of promise in this dispensation. Let me read this passage from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to verse 16. I'm reading from the New Life Translation. Now, I want you to notice the word promise being emphasized several times in this passage. And so, verse 8 says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. And so he went about knowing, or rather went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised," right, the land God promised, "he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise." The same promise, it says. "And Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with the eternal foundation, a city designed and built by God. And it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was very old," or too old. "And she believed that God would keep his promise." Again, the word promise. "And he believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. And these people still died, or rather, died still believing what God had promised them. Again, they say, what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance, and we welcome it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads on earth. And obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. And so you can see that in this passage, during this dispensation from Abraham to Moses, that God promises to Abraham function prominently as a ruling factor. And that is why this era was called the dispensation of promise. And so what is the new revelation given to Abraham? Now we call this the Abrahamic covenant. After God judged and dispersed the people at the Tower of Babel, God in His love, grace and mercy chose a man and his descendant to carry out His redemption plan. And this chosen man is called Abraham. And God would make this man a model recipient of saving grace and establish him as the father of those who believe. And so Abraham and his descendant then became the nation of Israel. And they were chosen to later bring forth the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who would crush the serpent's head and redeem mankind. Now, when God called Abraham, he was 75 years old, and he lived in a thriving, cultured, and civilized city called Ur of the Chaldeans, located in present-day Iraq. And Abraham came from a very rich family, and he was a very respected leader from the community. And he was religious, and he came from a family who worshipped idol. Now, although Abraham was rich, respected and religious, he was also lost, heading for hell. But the Lord sovereignly in His grace and mercy reached out to him. Now, why did God choose this particular man, Abraham? Now, was Abraham morally more righteous than many others, or he did something that deserved God's calling? None of those things. God chose Abraham simply out of grace. That means unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor. And the Lord appeared to this ignorant, sinful, superstitious idol worshipper and said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Genesis 12, verse 1 to verse 3. And then God told him the general direction to go, but not to a specific land yet, and that He would only show him the specific land sometimes later. And so God made a covenant with Abraham known as the Abrahamic covenant, and God promised Abraham and his descendant many blessings. Number one, He says that I will make you a great nation. Now, this came to pass because as a nationality, the Jews are actually a highly gifted, enterprising and intelligent people's group. A very high percentage of them are very successful in business, career, government and society. Now, for example, in this modern world, Jews only make up about 0.1% of the world population. Now, 0.1%, not 1%. 0.1% of the world population, but 26% are winners of the Nobel Prize of this fabulous, very famous reward. And they are Nobel Prize winners. They are Jews. And so a very high percentage, 0.1% of the world population, but winning 26% of the Nobel Prize. And they are also have a higher percentage of successful bankers, entrepreneurs, traders, and scientists, and government bureaucrats. However, with greater blessings as a great people, it means also higher accountability. And that is why you see or you witness the Holocaust. Now, meaning that if you've gone astray from God, you would receive a more severe punishment. Number two, he promised Abraham and his descendants, he said, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, if you look at the history of humanity, this was fulfilled. Abraham indeed has a very great name. He is highly revered, a father figure, highly respected among the three major religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And in Christianity, he is considered the fathers of all those who believe. And then number three, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And again, in human history, those who bless Israel is blessed, and those who curse Israel is cursed. Now, however, I want to make some clarification here. Now, blessing Israel means doing good to Israel and pray for her. But that does not mean that Israel can do no wrong. All right, I want to qualify. Praying or blessing Israel means doing good to Israel and pray for her well-being. It does not mean that Israel can do no wrong or we overlook all her wrongdoing. Now, as seen in history, Israel committed many evil and wrongdoing after Abraham. And what did God do? Did God just overlook? Did God just say that, because I say this to Abraham, this is my promise to Abraham and descendant, overlook all the wrongdoing and then she can do no wrong? Not true, because God had to rebuild her and use pagan nations and the people to chastise her when she was non-repentant. All right, so we must take note of this. So, we must be clear what it means to bless Israel. All right, so some people go overboard, all right, that they lost the senses of what God is doing. And so, number four, and it says, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, this is a messianic blessing. That means Jesus would come from the lineage of Abraham to be the savior of the world. So this is a super big blessing to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And we are recipient of this wonderful blessing from the Lord Jesus, who is our savior. Now, however, to partake God's promises, Abraham had to believe and obey God's instruction. And so he had to leave everything behind, leave his familiar homeland and relatives, leave his established business, nice and comfortable brick homes or brick houses, to live in a tent. Imagine Abraham, 75-year-old, had to go to a far unknown country to live in a tent from place to place. And he had to trust God would honor his promises. And so stop and think for a moment. Put yourself in Abraham's shoe. You are not young, 75 years old, with a wife in her mid-60s. And then suddenly God appears to you and he tells you to pack up your bag and hit the road for an undisclosed destination. Can you imagine what Abraham's friends and neighbors would say? Imagine a friend asked Abraham, I see that you are packing up, Abraham. Abraham replied, yeah, Then friend says, really? I cannot believe that you are leaving our town. And then Abraham nodded, yes, we leave in a few days' time. And then the friend said, you know, you're not getting any younger. Are you ready to start all over again? And Abraham replied, yep, Sarai and I are moving. God told us to do so. Then friends asked, really? So where are you going? And Abraham replied, I don't know. And friend inquired further, you are packing up everything, leaving everything familiar, and you have no idea where you are going. Are you sure it's from God? Are you out of your mind? So end of the conversation. Now, everything within us recoils from making big changes without knowing where we are going exactly. And most of us need to see where we are going before committing to anything. But God called Abraham to obey this call without complete information. Nevertheless, the Lord gave Abraham enough information to make a reasonable decision. And so Abraham had a choice. He either cling on to his riches, religiosity, respectability, or he could respond and say to God, yes, I obey. And so Genesis 12, verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4, it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lord went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, Abraham didn't understand the full implication of what God had just said to him. And fortunately, he chose to believe and obey. And so after Abraham believed and took a step of obedience, and God then later revealed more of his promises to him and blessing to him with additional guidance. And so the fifth promise to Abraham is he will have multitudes of descendants, both biological and spiritual seed. Now, for example, Genesis chapter 22, verse 17 says, this is what the Lord says to Abraham, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond numbers, like the stars in the sky and then sands on the seashore. Now, the descendants like stars in the sky refers to Abraham's spiritual seed. That means you and I. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham, the father of all who believe. Then he says, the descendants like the sands of the shore refers to the biological seeds. That means the Israelite and the Arab nation. Arab nations are the descendants of, you know, Ishmael, Esau, so on and so forth. And so, and Israelite are the descendants of the promised son, Isaac. And so, here it goes, it being fulfilled. And then, the sixth promise is the promised land. God also promised Abraham and his seed, meaning Israel, a promised land to dwell in. And Genesis 17:8, it says, I will give to you and your descendant after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. The boundary of this land would extend from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, as mentioned in Genesis chapter 15 to verse 18. Now this is maybe three-quarter fulfilled, but it will be fully fulfilled during the millennium. And this means that they need to go and stay put in that promised land. Now let us do some reflection here. Now, Abraham did not perfect his faith over one day or a few years. His journey of faith has its up and down. And he did fail quite a number of times. So it was a period of at least 40 years before his faith was perfected, or rather fully matured. When he was willing to obey and offer up his beloved son, Isaac, to be sacrificed. And in doing so, he later inherited all that God has promised and became the father of faith. A very high honor. So fortunately for Abraham and for us, the Lord does not expect anyone to exercise perfect faith on day one. Instead, God meet us where we are at and then help us to cultivate increasingly more trust and faith in Him over time. So let us take stock of some of the lessons from this segment of the story. Some lessons learned from the life of Abraham. Now, if you backtrack and read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, carefully notice the verb had said. It says, now in Haran now, the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of the country from your family. That means that God has spoken to Abraham before he was in Haran. Now we do not know how long ago, at least maybe 1 or 2 years ago. But obviously, Abraham was slow in obeying God's call. But guess what? God doesn't give up on Abraham. Rather, he waits for Abraham. So lesson number one, God is very, very patient towards us. But we must not take it for granted. And so God wasn't mad at Abraham. And he is not mad at you. And so when your kids take the first steps, you don't yell at them when they fall, obviously. The same for God. He knows this is how we learn to walk by faith. And so God didn't give up on Abraham. Take hope, be encouraged. He has not given up on you either. And so God gave us a second chance and a third chance and so on. And so His grace and mercy is new every day. But we must not abuse God's grace and patience either. Because His grace and patience do have an expiry date. And so don't abuse it. Lesson number two. Often God will not guide you further until you have obeyed your previous command. Or the previous commands that He has given you. Now some people are agonizing and asking, Lord, why aren't you directing me? And then God would say, I already told you what to do a few years ago, but you did not obey. I won't give you more direction until you do what I have already told you. And many people are confused about God's will because like Abraham, they delay doing what God has already asked them to do. And so often we ask, what's going on? If we just look back at what God has told us previously, we would see what the problem is. We are yet to obey previously. And so I encourage you to take stock and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what God has spoken before previously, but you did not obey. And then lesson number three, we must adopt a tent mentality, an eternal perspective of life. Now notice that Abraham in his journey of faith did not build a house, but a tent. Why? Because ultimately this place on earth is not his ultimate home. He looked for a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. Every earthly city has no solid foundation. It is shaky and it is wobbly. And they will all collapse one day before the second coming of Jesus. Abraham has a tent mentality. He knows he was a pilgrim on earth. The ultimate home is not this planet earth, but eternity in the new heaven and new earth. And therefore, our major consideration in any decision making must be heavenly minded. And wherever you go, go with a tent mentality. Now I'd like to touch on the fourth characteristics during this dispensation, which is mankind's responsibility. And so having received that revelation through Abraham, what are they supposed to do? They are supposed to believe and obey God in general and God's promises in particular. Because Genesis 15:6 and Romans 4:3 says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So as for Abraham, his faith was tested and perfected as he progressed from faith to faith. And while Abraham passed a number of times in his faith walk, he also failed a number of times. In fact, some of them are serious mistakes. But he learned from his mistake and failure. He picked himself up and to move on until his faith is perfected. And we all need to grow through this long and arduous process of perfecting our faith in God. Now the second main responsibility is this. Go and stay put in the promised land. Now how do we know that? Now we can see this in the words of Joseph. Genesis chapter 15 verse 26 to 24 to 26. Now this important instruction are being conveyed from Abraham to all his descendants, generation to generation. And before Joseph was about to die, he told his brother in Genesis chapter 50, as I said, 24. Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob. And so Joseph took an oath. He was very serious. He said, took an oath from the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you and you shall carry my dead bone from here. And so you can see that this aspiration to go to the promised land. And so Joseph died being 110 years and they embalmed him and he was put in a coffin. End of quote. And so the Israelites are verbally taught generationally to believe in God's promises and have this aspiration to go and stay put in God's promised land in particular. So here comes the testing, the fifth characteristic. Would they trust in God's promises and have this aspiration to stay put in the promised land? Now the failure in this dispensation was seen in the tendency to leave the promised land. For example, after Abraham arrived in Canaan, when the famine struck, he left the land and then he got his family. He went to Egypt and he got his family into lots of trouble. In Genesis chapter 26, during another famine, Abraham's son Isaac was also contemplating of leaving the land. But then God appeared to him and warned him from doing so. And Jacob's children also sold their brothers Joseph to someone who would make him a slave, not in the promised land, but in Egypt instead. And then later, Jacob also left the land and got his descendant into lots of trouble. And so, in the later generation, their trust in God and their aspiration to dwell in the promised land had disappeared altogether. And after the death of Joseph, the Jewish people grew in numbers and became a nation. And the Israelites then became very comfortable staying in Egypt, which is the type of the world. They forgot their destiny was in the promised land of Canaan and not Egypt. And so, that is their major failure. They stay put in Egypt and they had no aspiration of going to the promised land. Now worse still, they turned to worship the gods of Egypt and they became idolaters or idolaters. Now, how do we know that? Now, you remember later when Moses delivered them out from Egypt, he went up to Mount Sinai for a period of time. They got impatient. The Israelites instinctively revert to golden calf worship. So this proved that they were idol worshipper. They adopted the so-called pagan religions of Egypt. And so that was their main failure. The whole nation, with the exception of few. And so, sixth characteristic, judgment. This major failure of staying in Egypt brought divine judgment. And so over time, the Israelites were subjected to bondage and slavery under the oppressive Pharaoh, their harsh taskmaster. And so after decades of slavery and bondages, they were awakened. And then they began to cry out to God to deliver them. So God again displayed His grace and mercy despite man's failure. And so in each dispensation, God always displays His grace of the redemption. And the same applies to the dispensation of promise in spite of man's failure. God's ultimate plan will always prevail. It does. And though the nation failed miserably and became idolatrous in Egypt, later Moses would be raised up to deliver the Israelites from the bondages and the slavery, and also out of Egypt. And so the law would be given at Mount Sinai for the purpose to be covered in my next sermon. Joshua and Caleb would then faithfully lead the people into their promised land. And so God's covenant would remain unshakable, and His ongoing revelation of salvation plan being revealed progressively from one dispensation to another. And here comes the conclusion. There is a vital lesson for us to learn from this dispensation of promise. Number one, the hallmark of Abraham's life was that he believed God, and also he grew from faith to faith. So all of us have this ample room for improvement in this regard. Now notice that Abraham eventually perfected or reached full maturity in his faith after so many years of trials and heartache. That means your faith has a long journey. Your faith is not a one-off faith. It's not today I've received the Lord Jesus. That's it. It has a long journey. And along the way, it will encounter many roadblocks, disappointment, discouragement, and at times even disillusionment, etc. And so don't give up. Keep believing God. And you need another virtue to fully receive God's promises. And for that, I want to read from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 to verse 15, to encourage you all. Verse 11 says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, and you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one high greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so after he had patiently endured," that means Abraham had patiently endured, "he obtained the promise." And so the key verse is 6:12 from Hebrews. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I put it another way. Through faith and endurance inherit the promises. Now, there are so many things that God had promised us. Personally, and also in the Bible. And some of them have been fulfilled in your life, and some will be fulfilled later in your lifetime. But yet, some others will only come to pass in the life after this planet Earth. And so the important thing to remember or to note is this. The most precious promises of God are obtained through faith and patience, or through faith and endurance. Life application. So keep persevering in your faith. In due time, you shall reap God's promises if you faint not. I know some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been devastated because of some catastrophe or some disillusionment in your life. But remember, this is part of growing your faith. This is part of maturing your faith. So, don't become bitter, but become better, stronger in the Lord Jesus. So, I want to encourage all of you that you keep persevering, adopt a right attitude in the Lord, and in due time, you shall reap God's promises if you faint not. And so may the Lord grant us the endurance and the perseverance in this journey of faith. Trust that this message has blessed you all. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.